look to you, Lord, your love that never ends restores me again. So I lift my eyes to you, Lord, in your strength will I break through, Lord. Touch me now, let your love fall down on me. I know your love dispels all my fear. Through the storm I will hold on, Lord, and I pray.
Thank you. Our scripture comes from Luke today, chapter 23, and only one verse. As they led Jesus away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus.
We press on day by day. Well, this morning I'd like for us to look at another person who was walking in the shadow of the cross. However, this was one who did not choose to walk in the shadow of the cross. He was compelled to carry the cross. And I've often thought about Simon of Cyrene when I've realized that there are some people like Simon of Cyrene who carried that cross not by their own choice. And so I want us to look this morning at the lessons that we have in this kind of little-known person in the Bible. Now, if you've seen any passion plays, you've probably seen Simon of Cyrene in the play. But mostly we overlook him because he only had one verse in the Bible. But how many of us, I can't remember reading about Melvin in the Bible. Now, there was Melchizedek, and some of you have Bible names. But here's a man who, his name was Simon, a common name, a common Jewish name. I think he was Jewish. Incidentally, he was from Cyrene, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want to share with you this morning what the lessons that I believe are here in this one small verse in the Bible about Simon of Cyrene. And I want us to look at it again. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to encourage you to open them there to that one verse in Luke 23 and verse 26. It says, as they led Jesus away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country. Now, I think that means in his way in from his country, which was Cyrene. And they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Well, here we see, first of all, a constrained cross. A constrained cross. He was forced to carry that cross, not by his own choosing. I'm not sure that any of us really, when it comes down to it, any of us really choose that way of the cross. I think it's what grace is all about. But sometimes God uses, as he did with Simon, first of all, conditions to bring us to that cross. Now, what were the conditions? Well, we know that it was Passover season. Simon, having a Jewish name, I think we should assume that he was Jewish. We know that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, it tells us that there were people there at Pentecost, which was not long after the Passover, probably there for the Passover through the Pentecost, who were from Cyrene. Now, Cyrene was a city on the north coast of Africa. It corresponds to the modern Tripoli. It was a Greek city, and Jews were settled there in large numbers. Now, you understand that the Jewish people were scattered. When the Babylonian captivity occurred, and even before that, the Assyrian invasion caused many of the Jews to be scattered throughout the world. So there were conditions that brought Simon to that unique time and place of his life. And I believe that that's true of each of us here today. I know we would like to think that we choose Jesus. But the wonderful thing, the wonderful fact that the Scripture reminds us about is that he chose us. Before we even knew him, before we even loved him, before we even wanted him, he chose us to be in him. So there were conditions here. And there are conditions in our lives, conditions that we might wish to change if we could. I don't know whether Simon was larger than others. Maybe he was about the size of Fred, let's say. Now, if you saw him in a crowd, you'd think, well, here's somebody who could carry that cross. And so he pulled him out. And probably Simon thought, well, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time when that first happened. But think of it. He was brought face to face with Jesus through those circumstances. This man who was really like a foreigner. He was a foreigner, but he was Jewish. I believe he was Jewish. I believe he had the hope that the Jews had that God would send a Messiah. And so when he heard about Jesus, I think he just kind of followed the crowd. And out of curiosity, he went and stood there thinking, well, I can just kind of observe. But then as he observed, he saw Jesus fall beneath the weight of the cross. And I think there are a lot of things that maybe we have glossed over and haven't really thought about, but what he must have seen must have made him want to look more intently. Maybe he leaned forward. Maybe there was a compassion that sprang up in him that God had put in his heart for this one who was suffering so. And afterward, I believe that Simon realized that this was his time. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice today, the Bible says don't turn away, because there is no other salvation if you turn away from Jesus. Now, you've all heard about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I personally believe that it's a sin that we cannot commit in the sense that we do not have Jesus actually here with us in the flesh. But I believe in principle what that sin is saying is if you turn away from Jesus, there's no other Savior. And that was an awesome thing that I think came home to the heart of Simon to realize that God had brought him to this condition, these circumstances, in order that he might be compelled to carry the cross of his Savior. Now, I believe that Simon later was converted. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I want to share one more thing about that constrained cross, and that is the command which constrained him. He was forced into bearing Jesus' cross. And today there are those likewise who are compelled by circumstances not entirely of their own choosing to bear Jesus' cross. Sickness, I think, is an example. Now, I'm not suggesting that there's anything, any atoning value in the sufferings that we bear, but I believe that our sufferings are sometimes vehicles through which God communicates with us. And he draws us to that cross where Jesus suffered for us. And I think it surely must have been so with Simon. Well, there's here also a carried cross. A carried cross. It says here that they compelled him to put the cross. They put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Well, there's a compliance here. I think Simon probably realized there was little choice than to do as he was commanded. But I suppose he could have run. He could have lost himself in the crowd and probably got away. So I think that there's a little bit of a will here. After the command came, after he realized he was in a place where he was witnessing something that he didn't fully understand as yet. But I think he felt compelled by that occasion to do as he was commanded to do. He complied. Now there's a doctrine called irresistible grace. And I'm not sure that I agree with it. I think that we can resist. I think that's what Jesus was describing as the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But I do believe that once we respond, that grace is what brings us salvation. There's nothing that we do to deserve it. Like that song that we sang, "All I Can Do Is Surrender." That's all you can do. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So if we think that we can be good enough to get to heaven, we're never going to get there. But he complied. And we must, when we hear that call, and we know that God has spoken to our heart, the Bible says, again, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. I believe that afterward Simon must have said, and I'm sure he became a believer. And as he went around and shared his testimony, he must have shared, "I'm so glad that I responded to the grace of God in my life, that I didn't turn away from that moment." He cooperated with Jesus. Isn't that kind of an awesome thought? I've seen many movies of the life of Christ, and usually they depict Simon. I think the Passion of the Christ does. I know that some of the older movies of the life of Christ, but they show him taking that cross and looking into the eyes of the Savior. And Paul said, I want to fill up the sufferings of Christ in my life. I want to be a partner in his sufferings, in the fellowship of his sufferings. He knew that that was a supreme privilege that many turn away from, cooperating with Jesus. The Bible says we are co-laborers with him. But we must take up our crosses like Simon did and follow him. And there was a coming after Jesus. Again, Jesus said, "Take your cross and follow after me." Here it says, my Bible says, "carry," and made him carry it behind Jesus. Now that is a symbolic truth there that we should not overlook. We follow after him. He goes before us and points the way. He said, "Take up your cross and follow after me." We're not Jesus. We'll never be Jesus. Now, we can be Jesus in the sense that he's in our hearts and we ought to demonstrate him to our friends and our neighbors and everyone that we meet. But we must be a follower of his. Not try to tell him what to do, because sometimes we do that. You know, we seem to know better than he does. But we can also learn from a conquering cross. I'd like us to notice here the power of that cross. First of all, in the call of that cross. I think Simon later must have given his testimony many times. And you've heard testimonies of how God has called people to serve him, each of you. I hope, trust, that has that testimony in your life. But I believe that Simon must have realized this was God's call. That cross was rough. That was as I study the history of that and understand the weight that cross must have put on the shoulders and back of our Savior, suffering as he did, blood loss, thirst, and all of that factored in. It's amazing that he could pick it up at all. But when Simon picked it up, I think he realized what Jesus was doing for him. And he realized that one that he had the privilege of coming after him, following after him, carrying his cross, was the one that he had been looking for. So he answered the call. There was a conversion that took place. Tradition tells us that Simon was converted. One commentator said, unless we assert that the notice of Mark, in Mark's gospel, it says that Simon was father to Alexander and Rufus. Unless we assert, he says, that this was written down with any purpose, then the conjecture is obvious that This meeting with our Lord became for Simon and his house an event of great importance and the occasion of his afterwards bearing the cross after Christ in a yet higher sense. In this case, then, the King of the Kingdom of God has, even on his way to the cross, won a subject. There was a conversion in that conquering cross. There was a companionship. And there's another tradition. You may have come across it if you've studied, maybe read a commentary about Simon. But there's a well-known tradition that Simon died on the cross instead of our Lord. Now, that's certainly not biblical. That's as unbiblical as some of this, what's been reported in the news today about Mary Magdalene, and about finding the bones of Jesus and his family. I mean, it's just laughable. And this is the same. I mean, to say that Simon died on the cross instead of our Lord. Now, he did carry the cross. But he says, even though he didn't believe that, he said this tradition acquires a beautiful symbolical sense, not in the place of our Lord, but in his fellowship, was thus indeed his body, not indeed his body, but his old sinful nature, nailed with Jesus to the tree. Paul talked about that. He said that our sinful nature has been nailed to that tree where Jesus died for us. That's the conquering cross. I want to encourage you to like Simon, to submit, to be compliant to what God is doing in your life, to call you to follow the one who came into this world to die on an old rugged cross for you. The cross through the ages has been a symbol of God's triumph over the power of darkness. The hymn writer wrote of this when he wrote the words, "In the cross of Christ I glory." And I think surely Simon gloried in that cross like Paul did. "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide."